No, I appreciate Clarence. Clarence presented a lesson, if you weren't here this morning for Bible class, a very difficult topic, a very difficult topic. But the thing is that there's a few of us that have such strong opinions, he really didn't have much of a chance to present his lesson more than to get darts thrown in his direction. I appreciate you, brother. I really do. The lesson this morning, as you see, the topic in the bulletin is being memorial. And many of you know what my profession is, and you're thinking, oh no, now what? No, it's not going to be that bad, believe me. But I just wanted to lead in with a little bit, number one, just to thank Clarence. But number two, my daughter gets a lot of things in her email. And one of the things that she got recently I thought was rather appropriate. I just wanted to read that before we get into our lesson this morning. And it's called The Entire Bible Explained in One Facebook. I think they're right. This guy's got it. Kind of a real quick definition. It'll take a few minutes. Oh, by the way, thank you, Dennis, for leading the song you should before the lesson. Now I know everybody's awake, and those of you are snoring at the end, it's my fault. So that's okay. My wife will remind me of that. God says, all right, you two, don't do the one thing, and other than that, have fun. So Adam and Eve said, okay. And Satan said, but you should do that one thing. And Adam and Eve said, okay. And God said, what happened? And Adam and Eve said, we did the thing. He said, guys, well, in the rest of the Old Testament, God says, you're my people. You should not do the things. People said, we won't do the things. And God said, good. But the people did the things. And God said, guys. And then we come to the Gospels. And Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. And even though you have done the things, the Father and I still love you and want you to live. So don't do the things anymore. He healed the people. They all said, okay, thank you. But the people said, but we've never seen him do these things. But he probably does when nobody's looking. And Jesus said, but I've never done the things. And the other people said, but we're going to put you on trial for doing the things. And Pilate said, did you do the things? Jesus said, no. Pilate said, he didn't do the things. But the people said, kill him anyway. Pilate said, okay. Jesus said, guys. In Paul's letter, Paul says, we did the things. But because Jesus loves you, and because you love him, you just have to stop doing the things. And the people said, okay. Of course, now Paul's letter is part two. He said, the people said, we did the things again. And Paul says, guys. And in the Revelation, John says, when Jesus comes back, there will be no more people who do the things. In the meantime, stop doing the things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Is that not the fix? Is that not it?
Yeah.
I think that pretty much sums it up. That's the Bible in a nutshell. I'm going to put this down here so I'll drop it off. Well, the topic of the lesson this morning is memorial. We're not going to have a memorial service. I just want to talk about that word. That particular word, memorial, what is it?
No.
Webster says that a memorial is simply something that is designed to bring to mind an event, a person, or a place. An event, or a person, or a place. Now, memorial events can either be sad, or they can be happy. They can be a little bit of both. We have a lot of things that we choose to have as memorials. Now, the vein of my profession, we kind of separate them a little bit. We say, well, a memorial is sad because that's what you're doing. But we have another special term for the happy times. Because, yeah, we do have services where people come and they laugh and they tell jokes and listen to loud music and they have a lot of it, they have a good time. We call those a celebration of life. We're special. But it's still a memorial, is it not? because it's designed to bring forth memories of a person, a place, or a thing. But the fact is, there's many types. Memorials in society. We have a lot of different memorials that bring together something that says, this is what it is. We have statues. People, animals, in public places and buildings, in parks. You get down to the city park, you see a guy on a horse. Now, there's specific rules as to what that horse looks like that means certain things to people who know the rules. It's kind of funny. It's like if the horse is standing on all fours, it's no big deal. The guy was famous, but he didn't do anything really special. If the horse has one foot in the air, that means that this person is famous, he's strong, but he was injured in battle but did not die immediately. If the horse is up on his hind legs and 2 feet in the air, he was killed in battle. There are rules for what this is, but the statue is not designed to bring to mind what happened to the man so much as the man himself. What were his contributions? What were the contributions of the lady in the statue? What were the contributions? There's statues of animals. There's lions and tigers and elephants and all these things. And they're designed to bring out some feelings and some ideas about those things. In Asia, if you have an important such as palaces, halls of government, they consider libraries. They all have statues of elephants in front of them. Why? Because an elephant is considered to be the strongest beast in the world. It is a symbol of strength. It's a strength of commanding direction. Such as what we consider the lion is the king of beasts. In Asia, the elephant is. Lion had no prayer. Okay? So statues have a particular place in our society as a memorial. It brings, because by definition, it brings to mind a principle, a thought, an idea. We have monuments. Now, I was going to do something a little bit different, and then I just didn't get the time, and, well, never got around to it. I was going to put some pictures up here for you. A Monument Mall in Washington, D.C. All of those things, that big, huge thing that's got a little point at the top of it at the end of this big, long fountain. What is that? Hey, the Washington Monument. You know what that is. I don't even have to show it to you. What does it bring to mind? It brings to mind the Washington, George Washington, we call him the father of our country, his contributions to our nation. It's there. It's supposed to remind us of that. We have the Jefferson Memorial. Has a lot of things inscribed in the walls in there. It's supposed to bring to mind the contributions of that person. So in museums, we have presidential museums and libraries. You have the Rockefeller Museum. You have all, and there's a show on TV I like to watch on the Travel Channel every once in a while called Mysteries at the Museum. There's some things that I had no idea what's going on with people that you think you know all about. Some of the things that you've learned on that show are just amazing. And the stuff is hidden in vaults, deep in the ground. But they're memorials. All of these things that are saved back, they're memorials. We do that in our own homes. We keep things. Baby books. We don't think of them as memorials. We think of them as memories. We think of them as it's a baby look. Guess what? It's a memorial. And I've seen them used over and over and over again in different things. Highways. We have the Kumeyaay Highway. It seems like every city in California, major city I've been to in California, we have a Cesar Chavez Parkway. It's a memorial. You come out here on the 905, there's a certain stretch of 905 that's dedicated to an equipment operator that was killed on the job. It's a memorial highway. What's it do? It brings to mind the thing that happened. Do I know what happened? I don't know what happened to this person. But it causes thought. tribute or not, but it's something that's there. The Bible, I believe, I'm going to use a phrase that somebody might throw a dart at me, but that's okay. I believe that our faith is based on memorials. By the pure definition of a memorial, I believe that our faith is 100% based on memorial. And I'll throw that out there, and we'll start. We'll look at Genesis chapter 9. Let's go back all the way to the beginning. Genesis chapter 9. I think we already beat up Adam and Eve. We'll beat them a little bit. Genesis chapter 9. Beginning at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds and the livestock and all the wild animals and all those who came out of the ark with you and every living creature on earth. And I will establish my covenant with you that never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of my covenant that I'm making between you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth, and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between you and me and all living creatures and of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood and destroy life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is a sign of my covenant I've established between me and all life on earth. God set a memorial. And God said, because that set, I will remember. God said, because that is set, you will remember. What did he do? He set a memorial that, number one, said, remind, is a reminder. Never again will all life on earth be destroyed by flood. There it is. Boom, that's a statement. Well, what else did he do? That rainbow also establishes something else. If you really think about it, that rainbow also establishes his ultimate power. Because what did it do? It's the promise that never again will the all life be destroyed by by floodwaters. Let's move on a little bit further. That God has it establishes a moral that God has the power to take all life. He has the power to save and give life. By that one little memorial. That's a reminder of our faith. The power, ultimate power of God. That's one. We heard already this one, but I want to refer to it also. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, I'm going to begin with verse 3 and go through 10. And then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day, the day that you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out with his mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Today, in the month of Abib, you are leaving. And when the Lord brings you out of the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, the land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days, and nothing with yeast in it shall be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders. And on that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt with his mighty hand, and you must keep this ordinance at the appointed time, year after year. God set by feast a memorial. Now the Jews had lots and lots and lots of feasts. And they were all a reminder of an event. This particular one says, "This event, you're going to do this at this particular time, every time, because I want you to remember, what did I do? I brought you out of bondage. I took you out of slavery. I put you into a land. I gave you a place to go." He says, "But I'm going to set this memorial. I'm going to set this up for you." We do the very same thing with holidays. We have one coming up pretty soon. We have Memorial Day. What do we do with that? We remember an event. Well, God did the very same thing with his people here. He said, "I want you to do this, and here's my directions. This is what you're allowed to do, and this is what you're allowed to eat. And you're going to do this for a certain specific period of time frame, for 7 days. You're going to do this." It's a memorial. It's a memorial that says, "This is what I did for you. Remember that. You can't forget it." This is the law. He says, this is another advantage or another kind of an ancillary thing within that feast. He says, "I want you to teach and remember the law." He says, "Because I'm God." So he sets up in that memorial not only the event, but also a teaching point. To keep the law on your lips. To show it as a symbol and a sign. The Pharisees did a little bit more than just that. They have what's called, I know you've heard the word before, they have what's called phylacteries, or little boxes with big long leather straps on them, and they tie one on their forehead and they tie one on their wrist. The priests do this. Okay, in those little boxes are miniature scrolls of the Ten Commandments. And it's their reminder. And when they go in for their prayer duty at the temple, they have to be wearing those. It's their reminder. That's what God is talking about here. And he says, and that's what they've done. It's their memorial. They remember the law that way. They remember the event that their people were brought out of bondage into their own land. Into their own land. Now, I've talked a whole lot about the Old Testament. I said, well, you know what? And why do I do that? Because we hear over and over and over again, the Old Testament is the schoolmaster. Well, I don't have to say that. You can read it. It's in the scripture. It's not. I didn't make that up. The Old Testament is the schoolmaster. What are the memorials? The memorials are all we're remembering. If we didn't have, personal opinion, Tim, I'm standing behind the stand. If we didn't have access to all of these events, all of these stories, all of these things, what would we truly know? Do we have to only have opinion and guesses? No. He gave us these things. What is the Old Testament? What is the schoolmaster? What are the things that he says you need to learn and sets up all of these memorials for us to do that? Okay. He says, how do I want you to behave? That's what the Old Testament's all about. I joke about it, but it's really true. The Old Testament is all of thou shalt nots. The New Testament is all that, yeah, I got it, you did it anyway, so I forgive you. Now go ye therefore and don't do it again. Okay. If we didn't have the schoolmaster, we wouldn't know how to behave. If I had my children, if we have my son and my daughter, we just let them go out and do whatever they wanted to all their life, would they know how to behave properly? No, we got to teach them. You got to teach them. You can't run through the house, grab your sister by the hair, and throw her into the wall. Can't run through the house, grab your brother, and fold him in half and dump him behind the bed. Got to teach them that, or they'll do it anyway. That's what the Old Testament really is. This is the lesson that he's teaching. He sets up all of these things to remind you. He sets up memorials so we can remember. Now, one of the greatest memorials, I believe, that God gave us is with his son. I like to turn to Luke chapter 22. Let's go to Luke chapter 22. One of the greatest memorials that we have, that we observe as a church, as the called out. Oh, you want to use that term, because that's what it means. We say church, the Greeks say ecclesia. The translation is the called out. Called out from what? Called out from the world of sin and darkness to those who understand in the light. That's the whole definition and meaning of that Greek word ecclesia. The church. The called out, the separated. Now, does that mean that we have to separate ourselves and live in a convent someplace high in the mountains so that we're away from everything in the world? No. No, it doesn't. Because part of our mission is to bring the rest of the world into that light. That's part of our mission. But the other part of that mission is that we live in the world but not of the world. What does that mean? I'm in the world. I'm in and amongst all of this stuff. But we'll refer back to my story. Don't do the thing. Don't do those things. We talked a lot about that this morning, to be clear. Don't do those things. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14. Then the hour came, Jesus and his apostles were reclined at table. And he said to them, I eagerly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom has come. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood, which is poured out for you. The hand of him who is going to betray me is with me with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go out as it's declared, but woe to the man who betrays him. Jesus set a memorial. He gave us something to remember. We are instructed, some say by tradition, I say by the word. We're instructed to remember this on a regular basis. That means being a weekly basis on the first day of the week, as is recognized by time. On the first day of the week, we are instructed to remember that thing that he just did with his disciples and why. To do this in remembrance of me. And each one of those things are there specifically. He says, the bread, what is it? Everybody knows. We know this because we were taught it. We know this because Jesus set it as an example, as a memorial. He said, the bread is my body, which will be broken for you. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to be executed. You don't have to pay the price, accept the conviction, be sentenced, and do all of those things that you so richly deserve. Because I'm going to do it for you. I don't want you to remember that. Well, you remember that in hard, cold facts. The bread. Take this in remembrance. Remembrance. Then he says with the cup. The other guy. With the cup. He says, pass it around among you. Share it. Remember, this is my blood, which you're going to see shed. A blood sacrifice. People understood that, and we need to understand it completely and fully also. A blood sacrifice was bled to cover forgiveness of sins ultimately. I no longer am under, you no longer am under the sentence of death because we did the things. Because the Son of God accepted that responsibility. And he gave us a memorial to remember that sacrifice. That's important. That's important. We talk about things that are important in our faith. What does it really matter if? What does it really matter if? What does it really matter if we remember that Jesus died on the cross? Because that's the whole point. What does it really matter if we're baptized? Because that's the whole point. And he gave us memorials. Is baptism just because he thought you got to have something to do? Is baptism because he thought, well, you know, if you don't do something, if you don't have something happen to you, then it just doesn't mean anything. If you're not initiated, you're not a member. It has nothing to do with that. I'm going to throw something out there, whether you agree with me or not, that's okay. Baptism is also a memorial. Baptism is also a memorial. We're given the idea. What is it? Baptism is remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm killing the old man who did the things. I'm burying the old man in the water, the grave. And then I'm coming up out of that water in resurrection to be the new man who tries not to do the things. It's a memorial. Because I have that point. I know when it happened. I know that it happened to me. And it reminds me, who do I belong to? So it brings up a memory of an event. It brings back a memory of a commitment. It's a memorial. Our faith, our life, whether it be within the church or outside in the world or out in our jobs or whatever, is all based on memorials. Some are important, some are not. But they all bring up ideas. They all bring up commitments, convictions, direction. And God gave us a whole bunch of them to remind us as we go on through our lives, we go to work day after day in and day out, or if we're retired, gosh, I wish I could. We don't, or if we're retired, then we really go to work day in and day out. But we're off relaxing, hit that Disneyland once in a while. He's given us things to remember. That he's there. He gave us the whole book. He gave John time on this island to write this whole scroll full of information about what's coming, what is soon to be. We call it the Book of Revelation. It's the revelation that God gave to John when he was exiled on the island of Patmos to tell us that this is no joke. There's going to be some really serious stuff happening, but we get to have a report. And he told us all about that. I said something at a memorial service I did last Tuesday for a friend of mine. Every service that I do in my job, I'm a little bit jealous. Because that person I'm doing the service for has got nothing left to worry about, and I'm still here. Memorial. Think about it. What do we have? Is it just something that we do? Or is there a purpose behind it? Think about it. It's something that God gave us to remind us of an ultimate sacrifice that saved us from having to go through that. Because I guarantee you, I wouldn't want to have to go through that. Not at all. I don't even care if it's the modern day version. Lethal injection, you're okay, so you go to sleep. I won't have to do it. He gave us this to remind us that, okay, we did it. We messed up, but we have forgiveness. Don't do it again. Don't do it again. Baptism is that last memorial for us to remember. That last memorial for us to remember. Is it important? Absolutely it is. It's not just something to think about. It's not just something that you do every once in a while and that's it. It is important. Because God said, this is what you have to do. These are the steps. I want you to be with me. I want you to be in my kingdom. I want you to be there. I want to be there. I want to spend those sleepless nights praising God. Because I don't need sleep anymore. I'd be at rest. I'd be having a fun time. He said, this is what you have to do. Number one, you have to hear the word. You got to get out there. You got to hear the word. If you don't hear it, how do you know? How do you know what you have to do? You have to believe it. It's not, as some of my friends will say that I've heard over and over and over again, it's not a collection of conflicting fairy tales. It's the facts. It is simply the facts. God made a perfect world and he put people in it. That's all. It's a collection of facts. You got to believe it. You got to repent. You got to say, look, yep, guess what? I did it. I did the things, God. Sorry, I'll try not to do it again. But he says, okay, you did that. You believe it. You believe what? You believe that I sent my son, who lived 33 years, got beat up, got ignored, got told by his own family you're inconsequential. He went out anyway and did what he was supposed to do. You believe that I sacrificed my son for you. You believe that my son raised up on the third day from the grave. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. He got up and he told hundreds and hundreds of people over a 40-day period of time. I'm still here. Then he went back to the Father to wait for the time when his Father says, go back. That's the whole thing. He says, you must, you follow that. You were baptized. You were brought in. You were given the Son. Provided the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the early brand says, this is the earnest. This is the badge. This is the promise that you have this coming. You have this coming. Memorials. They're there. We have a whole book full of them. We have a lot of things that we do to remember them. But remember, that memorial